the latest news on a bill that would change the relationship between landlords and tenants in the state, and another bill that would make it harder to challenge Native American-themed logos at schools. First, Governor Walker last week announced a plan to cut property taxes. The bill would use a state surplus to provide $100 million to schools over the next 2 years. Schools would then balance that out by lowering property tax assessments. The bill hit the Joint Finance Committee this morning. Reporter Shemaine Mills was there, and I talked to her earlier today. Shemaine, welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here.
So you spent the morning over at the Capitol with the Joint Finance Committee. What was the discussion among committee members on Governor Walker's proposed property tax cut like?
Well, there was discussion about the size of the tax break. The Legislative Fiscal Bureau, the nonpartisan numbers cruncher agency, if you will, basically says it's going to be $13 this year if approved, and then $20 the next year. And some who aren't necessarily opposed to the tax cut but are wondering if it's big enough, say that isn't even enough to fill the gas tank of a larger vehicle.
Mm-hmm. And that would be the average property taxpayer around the state. That's the amount we're talking about,
right? So some people may get more, some people may get less.
And this was technically a public hearing. Was anything missing for the public hearing?
Well, we had no one speaking. We did have four groups registered in favor. All of them are groups that favor or support Governor Walker. For instance, the Realtors Association, the Builders Association. However, we had no general members of the public speaking. That may account for the fact that this was just introduced. And it's quite a quick turnaround time to go from introduction to the Budget Writing Committee to public hearing, and the Senate's going to take it up later today.
Right, and this we first heard about this just Friday, right?
Correct. And there has been some bit of – it's been publicized, but there isn't enough notice for people to take off work, get to places, and – so the governor is actually suggesting people call their lawmakers and say how they feel about this tax cut.
So given the turnaround, and they want this thing to be in effect for December, so if it's going to happen by then and local communities are going to have time to adjust their property tax rolls, I guess, to account for it, they do have to do it quickly, right?
Exactly. So there is justification for how quickly this is moving through the legislature.
And what's been the argument in favor of this tax cut? As you say, some critics say, well, it's not that much. It's not a big deal. What are the supporters saying, though?
Well, a number of Republicans on the Joint Finance Committee today brought up the fact that it may be small in the minds of some, but this is just the start. They say we're giving the money back to the taxpayer where it belongs. We're holding school property taxes down. If we have other surpluses, this is what we'd like to do with it. So the $33 expected over the next 2 years could be more in the future.
And in the back and forth between Democrats and Republicans, some Republicans say, well, you know, if you say it's too small, you're never going to cut a tax because it's incremental here and there.
Exactly. Democrats, however, say they'd like to see other taxes cut. For instance, the earned income tax credit was reduced. The working poor used to get a fairly substantial tax credit, and Democrats would like to see that restored to its previous levels. They say maybe we could look at these other taxes instead of the property tax.
So one of the immediate responses last week when this idea first came out was, hey, this is 3 days after or three-ish days after a Democratic challenger announced her campaign, Mary Burke. Was there any talk that on the Finance Committee today?
No, there was initially some speculation that was the justification for this hastily introduced tax cut. Coincidence or not, it was not brought up today.
One of the other things that happened just yesterday, news broke that the state's general fund closed the fiscal year with about $90 million more bucks than what had been projected by the Legislative Fiscal Bureau. Was that, do you reckon, on the mind of the governor and Republican legislators when they came up with this? I mean, the amounts are not that far off.
Well, they use that as a justification for giving this tax break. They say we have this surplus because of all the measures we've taken. Therefore, it should go back to the people. I mean, the state has seen more from income taxes. The revenues of the state coffers have gone up. And they say this is the way to give back.
And then there's also talk today about some money going into the rainy day fund, building that up. And that's been a decades long debate in Wisconsin. Do we have enough of a rainy day fund? Did that come up in today's meeting?
Yes, it did. Many other states have a rainy day fund that is larger than Wisconsin's. Right now, this is at 2%, which it could be bigger. Mm-hmm. But Republicans say this is a step in the right direction, getting us to where we should be.
And then looking ahead at the next budget, and I know it's in some ways for my brain a little too early to wrap it around that next budget, but there are already some projected shortfalls. And that has been a criticism, I think, of this particular property tax cut. What are legislators saying about that?
That was not brought up today, but it has been when it was initially introduced. Yes, we have a surplus now, but looking ahead and the amount of borrowing the state is doing, there's a projected shortfall. So there was some discussion about let's look at the big picture. And another thing that was brought up regarding this tax cut is, yes, it's holding school taxes down or property taxes, but you're not going to see any new textbooks or any new teachers because of this. This clearly is just being funneled to the schools to hold down property taxes. It will not increase education spending.
So let's talk timeline here. You mentioned the Senate could hit it as soon as today. And then what's next?
The Assembly on Thursday.
Wow. So that's pretty quick.
Yeah. The legislature is working very fast on this. It is a priority of the governor's.
And there's not really much talk that this thing won't pass, right?
No.
Probably a done deal.
The criticism, frankly, is quite muted. It's hard to be against property taxes.
All right. Well, we'll be watching this as it probably passes in the next week. Shemaine, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.
That was WPR reporter Shemaine Mills. I talked to her earlier today. Coming up, reporter Gil Halstead has been with the state Senate today. He's going to catch us up on two of the top stories from there. We'll talk to our reporter Gilman Halstead now. He spent much of the day with the Wisconsin State Senate, where a lot of important bills are coming to the floor. He's joining us by phone from the Capitol to tell us about it. Gilman, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks for asking me.
So let's start with this landlord-tenant legislation. Among other things, it gives more eviction power to landlords. Passed the Assembly last week. What's going on in the State Senate today with that?
That has not reached the floor for debate yet. They didn't go into session until 3 o'clock, and they have spent from then until now talking about this property tax relief bill that just came out of the Joint Finance Committee, and Democrats have been trying unsuccessfully to amend that so that the money involved would go would go into a rainy day fund rather than be used to provide property tax relief for property taxpayers in the school district.
Well, let's run with that for a minute. Is there hope that among Democrats that these amendments would actually stick, or will the Republican majority go with the plan as stated?
One of them has already been voted down, and another has been declared not germane to the discussion. So, I mean, I'm sure the Democrats always hope, and they spend a lot of time debating this particular, the First Amendment I mentioned about using the money for a rainy day fund rather than for property tax relief. And obviously they really were hoping they could convince their colleagues on the Republican side to support it, but they did not.
Okay. Now, on the landlord-tenant bill, you've been covering that. The Assembly passed it with some changes. What are some of the changes in the works that the Senate will have to tackle?
They are actually pretty minor changes, Rob. I don't think that there actually will be there probably will be a similar debate in the Senate now to get it finally passed about the fact that it does give landlords more of an upper hand in dealing with disputes with their tenants, and it requires more of the tenants in terms of defending themselves if, for example, repairs are needed. In the building, the bill makes it more makes it possible for the landlord to claim that it was the use of whatever appliance or plumbing by the tenant that caused the problem. So I honestly don't think that's going to be a big deal today. I think there'll be a little bit of debate, and then the Senate will pass the same bill that the Assembly did, and it will head for the governor's desk.
All right. And then the other bill that we've been tracking a lot here on Central Time is the school logo issue, the Native American logos that some people are protesting, trying to get rid of. Some people are saying it shouldn't be so easy. Can you give us the background on that before we get to today's action in the Senate?
Well, yeah, and they've not acted on it in the Senate yet anyway, and they're still debating it in the Assembly. They've been debating it for the past couple of hours. And basically there's a law in place that was passed just a few years ago that set up a process in which someone can complain in a school district that the logo is discriminatory or offensive, and then the school board, the school has to defend itself against that before a panel from the Department of Public Instruction. The Department of Public Instruction makes a decision, and they have to remove the logo or they are allowed to keep it. The change would make it easier, actually would make it harder to get rid of the logos, because it basically says that the district is innocent till proven guilty, and puts the burden of showing that the logo or mascot is offensive on the person complaining, and it requires that person to gather signatures equal to 10% of the student population of the district before they can even have their complaint considered. And that is something that they are trying to take out of the that the Democrats have been trying to push for an amendment to take that provision out. The debate on the Assembly floor has been a lot of what we've heard in the past, that the Democrats claiming that we have a good system in place now, it's fair, and if we go back the other way, then we are basically legalizing bullying. They claim that the logo actually is like bullying Native Americans in the communities or even in the state, by allowing schools to have them, allowing the students to mock Indians. And we're going to hear more of that in the Senate today, but I don't think that my sense is that there are not votes to either amend it or prevent it from passing. But there will be a lot of debate about it.
In covering this, I've seen in your stories and we've heard here on Central Time, people who are opposed to this change and who are opposed to keeping the Native American logos on the schools say this is actually doing harm to Native American students in the state.
Right. Even if there aren't that, there may not even be that many at the school. They're saying that there was research that's been done, that academics from both the psychological field and sociological field have done in-depth research showing that these logos do have a negative emotional impact, sort of psychic impact on Native Americans, and that they should be done away with. And supporters say what I've said before, that they that the school districts ought to have a chance to prove that they don't. And there are requirements now in all the schools that Native American history be taught. And the schools that are keeping them, in particular the Mequonago School District, has been central in this fight because they've challenged the decision of the DPI to require them to change the Mequonago Indians logo. They're saying these are really popular. We see them as honoring Native Americans, and there are alumni of the school for whom it's very important. It's like a legacy for them that they're looking back at, and that there are actually some Native Americans who do believe that they are honored by having an Indian being used as a mascot or a logo for a school. So neither side has convinced the other in this, but those are basically the two sides that are at work here, those two arguments. And it appears to me, anyway, from the votes that it is going to become harder to remove. I think there are about 35 schools, the author of the current bill said, that still do have such logos, and it's possible that those will not be changed because it will be hard to follow these new rules of getting the signatures.
So you said that's still going on in the Assembly now. Is the Senate still hoping to tackle that today after they deal with
that? Yes, they are. It is on the agenda. There's no indication that they're going to take a recess before that, as far as I can see. It's on the session calendar for today.
So wait, they've got the property tax thing, they've got the logo thing, and maybe still that landlord-tenant. Is this going to be one of those famous late-night sessions at the Senate?
I'm hoping not,
Rob. Because you're going to have to stay for it if it is.
I'm hoping not. I think those, the other ones, a lot of the other things on the agenda are not so controversial. And so I'm hoping that they wrap up at a reasonable hour.
All right. Well, good luck on that, Gilman, and thanks for joining us again on Central Time.
You're welcome. Thanks, Rob. Bye.
That was WPR reporter Gilman Halstead. He's over at the state capitol. Well, there is a reason to pledge. I can vouch. Our reporters have had a lot of long, sleepless nights. Gilman, Sean Johnson, the whole gang, really, whether they're covering late-night activity at the capitol, filing stories at 5 in the morning after election night. Sometimes I'd come in at 5, and they're still working from the last night. They do a lot of great work. Make a pledge to keep making their work possible at WPR.org. That's WPR.org, or call 888-202-2552. Coming up, we'll look at a new study on global warming and how it might affect us. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network.